Okay, Zelu Umazze, we're in the middle of Kuf Samache. Zelu Umazze, Klipas Amalek, Umas Hashbaos, Shamosha, Aaron, Miriam. Let's learn about the Hashba of Amalek, which stands to block the Hashba of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, this next section is built upon a lengthy piece of Torah in Likutei Moran, but he alludes to it. Very bekitzer. It's a nice Torah. If anyone wants a good homework assignment, it's a nice piece to learn. But Rabbeinu Zal b'Torah Nunches. Rabbeinu means Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman, in the 58th Torah of Likutei Moran, Mevar Kol Abachinos Sheyesh B'Amalek, explains all of the different manifestations of Amalek. Ve'ein Bechina She'ein Mevur b'Torah Zu. There's no aspect of Amalek that is overlooked in this very important Torah. His teaching from Rabbi Nachman. Ubitchila mavai Rabbeinu sheklipas Amalek hu bebechinas zel umazel asalokim. We have a pasuk in Kohelis. We've mentioned it many times. It's in the 7th parak. It says in Kohelis parak Zayin, zel umas zel asa haelokim. This one opposite that one, Hashem has created. There's a beautiful and perfect balance that Hashem maintains in the world. Which means if we're going to have a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, the nations of the world are going to also have to have a prophet on the same level of prophecy. And who was that prophet for the Ummah Sa'olam? Bilam. If we're going to have positive hashbos in our life, there's going to be negative hashbos that oppose them. This, of course, is alluded to by the two goats of Yom Kippurim, which the Mishnayos describe in Maseches Yoma as being identical in cost, in height, in appearance. Everything about these two goats look the same. And then, randomly, as it were, the Kohen Gadol selects two lots out of a box. One of those goats is La'Hashem, and one of those goats is La'Azazel, thrown off a cliff. What's the difference between these two goats? They look so similar, right? Well, that's exactly how Hashem runs the world. You could have things which on the surface look similar, but in some mysterious way, and that's why it's a lottery, that's why it's a goral, a lottery is something mysterious. A lottery is something that defies logic. So through a lottery, right, the Kohen Gadol reveals through the lottery that one goat is La'Hashem, one goat is La'Azazel. Esav is a brother to Yaakov, like the Navi says, but Hashem loves Yaakov. Hashem loves Yaakov, as the pasuk concludes. So there's a mystery to how Hashem runs and balances out his world. That's why, look at this pasuk. Zelu mazel aselokim. Look at the Rashi Tevos. What do you say? Zelu mazel aselokim. What are the Rashi Tevos? Azazel. Azazel. Because this is the, in many ways, this is the secret of the Sa'ir la'azazel. Zelu mazel aselokim. You see it? It's not in order. But these are the letters of Azazel. Because for every positive thing in the world, in order to allow us to choose and to not make life too impossible or too obvious, Hashem has to create this power struggle. So therefore, whatever we have in Kedusha, we have something to oppose it. And Amalek is the essence of Zelu Masa. Meaning, there are specific positive things that have specific negative opposites. But so to speak, the thing that opposes all positivity, the thing that represents all negativity, is Amalek, is what we call Amalek. It's the root of all the falsehood in the world. Amalek is so much connected to Sheker, the lie of Amalek, the deception of Amalek. Yeah, Sheker, Asher Karcha Baderach. The shin of the Sheker is the good letter, the Kar, the Kufresh. Is the bad of Amalek, the sheker of Amalek, the lie of Amalek. I told you once a remez. It says that sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. Right. One of the most awesome things about the Jewish people is that we always find a way to bounce back. Something that's true has to last. That doesn't mean something that's true can't be confronted or challenged. So Torah is true. So no one ever challenges Torah. People challenge Torah all the time. But somehow Torah has this ability, this longevity to keep going. Somehow Torah survives. Somehow the Jewish people survive. we're the people of truth. What, so no one ever challenges us? We're challenged the most, but somehow we survive. That's the secret of Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. We get knocked down, and somehow we pick ourselves back up, we strengthen ourselves, and we go weiter. Somehow throughout history, the Jewish people have been attacked and attacked, and somehow we always pick ourselves back up. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. We get knocked down, but somehow we find a way to pick ourselves back up. So now, look at the words. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. The Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe brings, in the name of other Svarim, he says, the Sofei Tevos of Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam is a Malik. Look at the last four letters. Sheva is an Ayin. Yipol is a Lamed. Sheva Yipol. Tzadik is a Kuf. V'Kam is a Mem. So the last four letters of Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, which is a Pasuk, a Tzadik gets knocked down seven times, but he picks himself back up. Right? Like those who were here yesterday, we learned about that eighth dimension. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. The Tzadik picks himself back up. So now, take the words Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam and add up all the other letters. Meaning, take off the Amalek letters and add up the other letters. Here we're doing. Sheva. Take Sheva. Take off the Ayin for Amalek and take the other letters. So Sheva, you have a Shin and the Beis. So that's 302. Sheva, let's see if this works. Yipol, how much is Yipol? Take off the Lamed for Amalek. Yod Pei Vav is 96. Okay, Tzadik, take off the Kuf for Amalek, that's the Kuf of Amalek. So Tzadi, Dalet, and Yod is another 104. And then Vikam, right, you take off the Mem, and you have 106. So what do you get? You add them up. I think this works. I hope this works. I think I saw this in a safer. 608? Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam is 608? No. Did I do it wrong? Yeah, no, maybe you're right. 608. 608. Yeah, minus the Amalek part is 608. So how did I mess it up? Okay, it must be a different, it must be something else I saw. Okay. There was something, there was a different one. Oh, I'm sorry, I know, I did something wrong. It says in the beginning, I got it then. It says in the Chumash, there's another one. It says, when Hashem was contemplating destroying the world, yeah, this actually fits even better. It says, Ki rak rak kol hayom. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, rak rak kol hayom. Right? Hashem looks at his world, and Hashem says, I got to make a mabul. Why? Because rak rak kol hayom. Yeah, that's what it is. Rak rak kol, what's the Sofei Tevos of rak rak kol hayom? Also a malik. So what letters are left when you take off the ra? Right, you take off the bad. You take off the Amalek letters. Rak, rak, kol. So you have a resh, rak, and then another resh, ra. You have another resh, kol. You have a chaf, so that's 420. And then you have hayom. You have the hay and the yod and the vav. So what do you get? 441 is got your emes. That's what it is. All right, so rak, rak, kol hayom. When you remove the lie, which is Amalek, and you remove the ra, and again, this is the, why am I telling you this? Because what Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter is telling us is, Zelu mazel solkim, this is all of the evil in the world. All negativity is called Amalek. It doesn't have to be biologically Amalek, it doesn't have to necessarily be exactly this people called Amalek, but anything that opposes positivity in the world, the ultimate expression of Zelu mazel is Amalek. So rak, ra, kol hayom, is Sofei Tevos Amalek, and if you take off the Amalek, what you're left with is Emes. You're left with 441 Emes. Right? Because when I remove that Ra, which is Kol Layom, which is ever-present, so then I'm able to recognize the truth of the world. Amalek, of course, comes from Esav, and like the Medrash says about Esav, Esav is a Lashon of Shav. What does Shav mean? Like a Shuas Shav? A lie. Shav means a lie, Sheker. It means falsehood and a lie. Okay? Okay, good. So let's go back inside though. Ki b'midbar hayu l'bnei Yisrael shalosh hashpaos. In the midbar, Hashem gave us three wondrous gifts, three sources of blessing. Haman, not Haman, Haman, the man, Ananea Kavod, and the Be'er. We had miraculous food, we had miraculous housing, and we had miraculous beverages. Shinishpah al yidei shloishas tzadikei ador. We were given these things in the merit of three great Jewish leaders. The man was in the merit of Moshe. The Ananei HaKavod in the merit of Aaron. Look inside. And the Be'er in the merit of Miriam. Shehem hayu hasod shel Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And this is all, again, he's giving us very bekitzer what Rabbi Nachman talks about in Likutei Moran Nun Ches. Va'amru Chazal. Tov yom hamaves miyom hivaldo. It says in the beginning of the seventh parak of Koheles, better is the day of death than the day of birth. Why? Because we didn't realize that the man was b'schus Moshe. We didn't realize that the Ananei HaKavod was b'schus Aaron. We didn't realize that the Be'er was b'schus Miriam until Miriam died and then we didn't have the Be'er anymore. And Aaron died and we didn't have the Ananei HaKavod anymore. There's a recognition that comes when a person passes away. All of a sudden you realize, wow, I didn't realize how important that person was in my life. So Koheles reflects that by saying there's a certain goodness and appreciation that comes on the day of death that is more so than the day of birth, which one would assume would be more joyous. Arba'im shana shasu b'nei Yisrael ma'im ya'be'er. For 40 years. 40 years we drank from the Be'er. What was the Be'er? A traveling well. A rock that gave water throughout the desert. It was not connected to any water source. Can you imagine what it must have been like to see the Be'er? And by the way, the Svarim say, just like the man could taste like any food, the Be'er could taste like any drink. Yeah? You know, 40 different beers on tap. Whatever you like. You know? Plus everything else. Everything else, whatever you like. The Be'er could taste like any beverage that you desire. U'be'er zeh ha'yubo kol ha'segulo shebo'olam. And not only that, the Be'er had, just like the man was a wondrous food spiritually, the Be'er, the hashpa, the spiritual hashpa of the Be'er, unbelievable. Why do you think that generation was so, we called them the Dor Deya, the generation of deep knowledge? Because they were eating and drinking the healthiest spiritual food and drink. In fact, we have a story, he says, super meharizal. You ever wonder, you know, there are certain great tzaddikim where without their talmidim, we would hardly have anything from them. If not, his teachings in his life would have been lost to history. The same thing is true about the Arizal. The writings of the Arizal are not so much written by the Arizal, they're written by Rav Chaim Vital, his student. How did Rav Chaim Vital train himself? How did he, so to speak, open his mind and his heart to be that conduit through which the Arizal's Torah would flow? So look at this story. It's a well-known story in many Sfarim. The Arizal, Kodem Shebikesh Lagalos L'Rav Chaim Vital Mashagilolo, before the Arizal began to reveal to Rav Chaim Vital the secrets of Torah, Nasu Imo Al Yama Kinaret. They went out one time on a boat, out into the Kinaret. And they went to a certain spot in the middle of the water. Umila lo kos mayim, va'amar lo, on page Kuf Samach Vav now, top of Kuf Samach Vav, he filled up a cup of water and he said to him, mayim eilu hei me be'era shel Miriam. This spot in the Kinneret is the waters of the Be'er of Miriam. Shasa ha'mayim, Rav Chaim Vital drank that special water, v'oz tia mayan ha'miskaber b'chachmas ha'kabal v'gin zei ha'torah. And from that day forward, he became a ma'ayan ha'miskaber, a raging spring of Chachmas Kabbalah, of secrets of Torah. The whole thing opened up to him. And all of this came in the schus of the righteous tzaddikas known as Miriam. And in her lifetime, no one really understood what was the source of the Be'er. But of course, when Miriam passed away, they came to appreciate it. It was the strangest thing. You understand, the Be'er was a spring that rolled with them, that traveled with them. Pile plos, evin she'ino mechuber l'shum davar, a rock, a well that was not attached to anything, and yet somehow it gave forth these beverages. V'areihu mashpia mayim b'shefa rav mishoresh hamayim, and it gave forth the deepest waters. Shoresh hachesed, mayim is chesed, the deepest. It was unbelievable, transformative, what it did to a person. But only Rakish and Nizdalka, but only when Miriam passed away, Nizgala Shahisa Bizchusa. Then it became clear how important Miriam was. V'chein haya b'man, uvanani akavod, hisgalis elokus niflaim. Again, you have to understand what it was like to have no physical worries in the world, no anxieties, no concern for paying your rent, no concern for food or drink. Everything was taken care of. And that's what it means. Tov yom ha-mavis miyom hivaldo. Sha'oz nisgal legodol hashpasa shel Miriam. On the day Miriam passed away, we understood how important she was. Again, in life, sometimes you take things for granted until it's confronted. So who confronts, so to speak, all of the positivity that we have in our life? Literally blocking us out from recognizing how good it is to be a Yid. And he's going to say it very strong and very clear. Because in the month of Adar, you have to say a different type of Shaloh Asanigai. You have to feel your Yiddishkeit more deeply. You have to deepen your relationship with Torah. It's no longer Kafaleim Harki Gigis. It's not Chodesh Sivan with a mountain over our heads. Chodesh Adar is a Kabbalah Satorah of Ratzon. I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Jew. I re-accept the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Right? Literally, the Jews re-accepted the Torah out of love. But it also means kibbu v'kibbu, they accepted Yehudim, to be Jews, to be proud Jews. That's part of the acceptance. U'le'umas shefa gadol zeu b'chinas ha-malek shu helem gadol v'nora. So just like a Jew living in the Midbar was eating the man and drinking the be'er and living in the warm embrace of the Anani HaKavod. But there was something that was trying to conceal all of that, to block a Jew from appreciating that, and that's a Malik. Shekol ha-kfiros v'chol ha-apikorsis v'chol bilbulei ha-amuna she'esh b'nei Yisrael. All of the weird thoughts that we get in our head, all of the heretical thoughts, all of the questions, all of the lack of faith, all of the menios, all of the opposition, in all aspects of avoda, whether it's getting to davening on time, whether it's guarding my eyes, or whether it's immersing myself in learning Gemara, or whether it's being generous to give tzedakah, or whether it's remembering to make a alamichya, everything. All of those blockages, which should be so easy and so natural and so geschmack to do, we don't do them because a malik gets in the way. Hakol hu me'osam ha'neshamos shal amalik. It's always that aspect of a malik. A malik, the Sfarim say, Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the great Mashkiach, and many others said, a malik bezman hazeh is not even so much what's outside of us, even though it is as well. But there's an akud of a malik in everyone's neshama that we're trying to get rid of. We're trying to drive out a malik, v'asuli mikdash, this week's parsha, v'shachanti besochem, to make space for Hashem inside of yourself. Zachor eis asher asa l'cha a malik. Remember what a malik tried to do to you, right? To you means within you. Or, like we said the other day, vayizanev bicha. How a malik tried to penetrate to your kishkas. Right? So there's an element of neshama of a malik inside of us that we're trying to get rid of. The doubts, our anxieties, our uncertainties. She'einan makir mosam v'lo yoyde mosam. Right? We sometimes fail to recognize how a malik has crept into our lives. Like we learned last week, a malik sometimes presents itself as a refined individual, as a gentleman. You remember the Maisa? How Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld didn't want to go out to greet Kaiser Wilhelm? And how he described that sometimes people who are a gentleman on the outside are a malik on the inside. Or like he told us, these people sometimes, they're vegetarians and they have awesome sensitivity towards animals, and then they slaughter Jewish men, women, and children. Yeah. So sometimes there's an amalek that's very deceptive. Aval anu yoyidim ha-emes, but we know the truth. And again, that's so much about what Purim's about. Again, like I said before, it's about overcoming the sheker of amalek to recognize the Torah's emes, the truth of Torah, the emes of Torah. Torah of Emes. Divrei Shalom ve'emes. The Megillah is called Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, to know factually that the reality is Shakol hara nimshach ha'yidei nishmoseyim, that it's that spiritual hashpah of Amalek that drags us down. U'kamosh yesh b'medrash Tanchuma, like it says in the Medrash Tanchuma, kol zman sh'amalek chai, as long as Amalek has existence, harehu k'naf ha'machase es ha'ponim. It's like a wing or some type of garment that covers over the face. That's why the moment that Haman is going to meet his end, Pnei Haman Chafu, it says. First of all, Haman first gets the garbage dumped on his head, right, all over his face. And then Pnei Haman Chafu, which yesterday we kept learning Pnei Haman Chafu means Haman became like ashamed, embarrassed, white in the face. Pnei Haman Chafu on a simple level means Haman's face was covered over. Because when you take someone out to be hanged or to be executed, sometimes they would place what? They would place some type of cloth over their head. Why is the face of Haman being covered? It has a lot to do with the head of Esav that made it into Maras HaMachpelah. It has a lot to do with this Medrash Tanchuma that Amalek tries to what? To cover the face. Because the panim is connected to the pnim, to the pnimius of a person. You look at a person's face, you know exactly what's going on inside their heart. If you know how to read a face, your face reveals your innermost emotions. Your face tells me, are you happy? Are you sad? Right? What do you mean? Those are the feelings of my heart. But you can read it on a person's face. You can't necessarily read it on their hand. You can't necessarily see it, you know, on their foot. But if you read a person's face, the face reveals what's going on the pnim, on the inside. The face reveals the secrets of what's on the inside. This is why my father likes to point out a remez. Bereishis bara Elokim, Eisa Shemayim ve'Eisa Haaretz. In the beginning of the Lord's creation of the world. V'haaretz haisa sohu v'vohu v'choshach al p'nei sohom. V'ruach Elokim merachefes al p'nei amayim. So the Medrash says as follows. That the four expressions of emptiness in that pasuk correspond to the four exiles. Tohu, vohu, choshech, and tohom. We've done this many times, we'll do it again. What's tohu? Tohu vavohu. Tohu, which exile is tohu? Bavel. Bohu? Bohu is Purim. Bohu is parasumata. Choshech, darkness, which exile? Yavan, Chanukah is the or. Can I get the choshech? And the last expression is what? Tohom. And that's the Golas we're in now, Edom, Rome, Christianity, the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So again, listen to the pasuk. V'ha'aretz ha'isa sohu v'avohu v'choshech al p'nei sohom. V'ruach Elokim merachefes al p'nei amayim. What's the ruach Elokim? That's ruchos shel Mashiach, says the Medrash. But my father likes to point out, look at the words again. Tohu v'avohu v'choshech al p'nei tohom. What's the al p'nei tohom? The Medrash tells us tohom is our fourth and final galus. But part of bringing about that final geula is to remove the thing that's sort of been there all along, which is what? Which is Amalek. Again, Amalek is not only a specific nation, but Amalek is any evil that lingers until the end. So it's sort of, we need this combination of al p'nei tohom. Right? You can't just get rid of tohom, you can't just get rid of tohom, which is Edom. The Sfarim also say the final galus is Yishmael, militant Islam. That's why Tahom is Gematria Yishmael. But you also have to get rid of Al Panei. What did we just learn? Haman had his face covered. Amalek tries to cover out the face. The face reveals the Pnimius. Amalek tries to destroy the essence of a Jew. Nuchayra, what's the Gematria of Al Panei? 240 Gematria Amalek. So Tov Vavov V'Choshech Al Pnei Tohom Al Pnei is Gematria Amalek. So now it's not just the remez in a number. Now you understand what the words mean. Al Pnei. That's what Amalek tries to counter. Al Pnei, the Pnim. Al Pnei. Amalek doesn't want us to have that face to face encounter with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu Ponim Al Ponim, speaking to Hashem face to face, like the pasuk says in a couple weeks. Moshe spoke to Hashem face to face, like a person speaks to a good friend. Amalek says, Hashem is not your friend. Hashem is not interested in you. Hashem turns his back on you. Right? So Amalek tries to what? To destroy that relationship called Al Panei. That relationship of face-to-face connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, look at the words of the Medrash. Kol zman she'Amalek chai, harehu knaf ha-machase es ha-ponim. Right? As long as Amalek is still around, we don't have that face-to-face. Yesh b'chinas p'nei Hashem. There's something called p'nei Hashem. Why do you come to the Beis HaMikdash? Chaver, what do you do when you come to the Beis HaMikdash? What does the Torah say? On the Shlosh Regalim. Come to the Beis HaMikdash. To what? To what? To have a Re'iyas Panim. To have an encounter with Hashem. To come face to face. Pnei Hashem. Right? Shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. Tefillah. To pour out my heart is supposed to be what? Pnei Hashem. Supposed to have a face to face encounter with Hashem. And Malik doesn't want us to know that Hashem is able to be encountered and found. Where is Pnei Hashem? When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, come to the Beis HaMikdash to have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. But the truth is, Pnei Hashem is everywhere. Melocha laretz kavodo, he says. V'nishmoseim shal osa menashim mechasim es haponim. But Amalek comes, and they try to stop us from what? From seeing Hashem clearly in our lives. Bottom paragraph on Kuf Samach Vav. V'zeu davar nifla. And now he's going to really yell at us, and we have to be mekabelim. To feel the simcha vav, we have to be mekabel the musar. Okay, here's the musar. V'zeu davar nifla. Anu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We believe in Hashem. Every one of us believes in Hashem. We believe in Hashem. Anu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. I believe in Hashem. My parents believe in Hashem. My grandparents believe in Hashem. My great-grandparents believe in Hashem. My great-great-grandparents believe in Hashem. Not to say that people didn't have doubts anywhere or along the way. But I'm saying as a matter of mitzias, not a matter of choice. The mitzias of a Jewish neshama is that we believe in Hashem. So we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. That's who we are. We are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. I think I did this one once, Nani. What is it? Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim? I think it's Gematria MS. Let's check it for a second. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, 150, 191. 191 times 2 is how much? 382. Or 444. It's about your mikdash. Okay, vasuli mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. Okay, that's also good. Because that's the emuna that's implanted within us. Okay, fine. Yesh kim gadol, we have a great Lord, we have a great God. V'galoi lanu sodha. Listen to these words. And we know the secret of creation. We're not some stupid people schlepping to a job just to get another paycheck this morning. We woke up with Jewish neshamas and we're learning Torah. We know the secret. There's a God in this world. The Torah is real. Kriyas Yamsuf happened. Purim happened. We got it. We're insiders. We've got the inside track of the entire creation. Anu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We have a great Lord, and we know that the secret of creation. We know that we don't come from monkeys. Baruch Hashem. Yesh lanu asa Torah kedosha. We have the Torah. If you learn it even a little bit seriously, it proves itself to be true. You don't need historical proofs. Study it deeply, you'll see it reveals itself to be true. V'yesh lanu tzaddikim amitiyim. And we have unbelievable tzaddikim. We have unbelievable tzaddikim. Tzaddikim who we've heard about, who we never met face to face. Tzaddikim who we've seen with our own eyes. Shanu yod mehem v'yon kemehem. Awesome people. Unbelievable tzaddikim. Heichan simchaseinu v'heichan chiyuseinu. So why does it look like we're half asleep right now? What's the pshat? What's wrong with us? Says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, what's wrong with us? We should be so happy right now. We should be so happy right now, Josh. We believe in Hashem. Hashem is controlling everything. We have nothing to worry about. We know the secret of creation. We know that there's a creator. We have the Torah. We have tzaddikim. Where is our simchas achayim? How could it possibly be that we're ever not in an amazing mood? We should have endless simcha. And by the way, on Purim, that's what we're tapping into. A simcha that has no limitations. Adelo yada. A simcha that just spirals higher and higher and higher. Ubli sof. But we should have that all the time. We know our secret. We all know the secret that we're carrying in a neshama. We're carrying a treasure inside of us. Ha'olam halo enu yodea mu'uma. Most of the world doesn't know anything about the truth of reality. Most of the world doesn't know. Rov b'nei adam enim yodim le'eza tachlis nivra'u. Most people don't have a clear mission statement what they're living for. They can't answer the question what the tachlis is. They could tell you, well, how this leads to their next thing. Having money leads to a more comfortable lifestyle. No, and what's the tachlis of a more comfortable lifestyle? What's the tachlis? Who can tell the tachlis? The world can't say what its tachlis is. V'le'eza tachlis heim chayim u'mesim. Why do you live and what do you die for? And what happens? We have an answer in one line. Ha'olam hazeh pruzder l'olam haba. This world is a corridor to the next world. And this world is about amassing Torah mitzvot. Hayom la'asosam l'machar l'kibol schar. We have a objective truth to follow called the Torah. V'yacholam heim liknos b'zeh olam gehenim below gvul rachmana litzlan. Top of the next page. The world is able to acquire all sorts of gehenim. An endless cycle of gehenim. Of thinking that this next pleasure will satisfy, and it never does. Ulanatek miyam Hashem ba'oifin noira. Va'anu zachinu leida ha'emes shebebriya. However, we're not bound to the Sheker of Amalek. We're actually commanded to destroy the Sheker of Amalek and to acknowledge the truth of reality. So if that's true, zachinu leida me'amun ha'kdoisha, if we have the holy true faith, so heichan ha'simcha v'heichan ha'chiyos. So why on earth do we look so schleppy? Yeshlanu ha'zichia lumo Torah mi'sinai. Rabosai, we're learning the same Torah from our Sinai. When our Gemara and Avodah Zarah quotes a pasuk, it's the Torah that Hashem commanded to Klal Yisrael at our Sinai. HaTorah Matsuya Ata B'Yadeinu Hi HaTorah Shenimsar LaMoshe B'Sinai. B'chol Dor B'Slav Shesacheres. And that same Torah operates on so many different levels that the Torah, which is also a historical document, is also speaking to the people who it's actually speaking to in context, is still speaking to us perfectly, seamlessly in 2020. It wears a different levush in each generation. Bizman HaTanayim, in the period of the Tanayim, the Torah was uncovered a bit further. The Amorayim, the Rabbanan Savurai. Each generation, the Rishonim, the Achronim, Chasidus, Pnimiyas HaTorah, right? It's all unfolding before our eyes. V'im kein heichan simcha. Where is our joy? Man de'ochid ba'oraisa, kaman de'ochid b'kutchabrichu. When we cling to Torah, we're clinging to God Himself. When you open your Gemara, you're sitting with Hashem. Heichan ha'simcha v'heichan ha'chiyos. So where is our joy? Where did it go? Why is it so hard for us sometimes? And the answer is very simple. It's one word. It's called a malik. It's called this malik bug that gets in your head and gets in your heart and totally confuses you. V'atshuva lazehu. The answer is as follows. Yitachin sha'adam yelo rechush atzum. A person could have this unbelievable treasure. And why can't he enjoy it? Person's unbelievably successful. He has all the money in the world to buy whatever he desires. Why can't he enjoy it? I'm just talking about physical pleasure, enjoying this world. Why can't he enjoy his money? You know why? Because he knows that there's someone who's trying to kill him. He knows that there's someone who's trying to rob him. And he has no yishuv hadas. He's totally mububal, right? In theory, he has everything a person could desire, but because someone has gotten into his head, psychologically, he's lost his yishuv hadas. And because he has no menuchas ha-nefesh, which is so much what a malik tries to do, to rob us of our menuchas ha-nefesh, so I can't enjoy everything that I have. I have all the gifts in the world. I have Torah, I have a neshama, I have Rav Hershel Schechter down the block, I have Rav Meir Twersky across the hall. What's wrong with us? Why are we not jumping for joy? And the answer is because there's something that's causing us anxiety that's called a malik. It's robbing us of our menuchas ha-nefesh. So the answer is, imagine a person who has a rechush atzum. A person has this unbelievable rechush, massive estate. Im yesh alav mekatrigim ha-mavakshim l'masor l'malchus. But he's got enemies who are trying to what? Who are trying to get him arrested, who are trying to get him killed. Or l'gozlo, are trying to steal. Are trying to take away his possessions. So he can't enjoy what he has because there's something that's always trying to grab it away from him. He's always looking over his shoulder. Sometimes he wishes he wasn't so successful. Because then he could just live a normal life. But now when he walks down the street, he's scared that at any corner, some hitman's trying to take him out. So he has no yishuv adas. He has no menuchas and nefesh. And that's how a Jew sometimes feels. Why couldn't I just be made regular? I know I'm special, but sometimes it's really hard to be special. Because the Yetzer Hara attacks those that are special. And a Malek has its eye out for those who are special. Umipnei ma, so why is all of this such? Why is it so? Mipnei shiodea agam shiyeshlo. He knows that he has good stuff. Mikol makim omdim kenegdo mekatrigim umoisrim hamavakshim lahavchol umlal. But he also knows that there are all sorts of accusers and all sorts of informers who are trying to overturn everything and turn him into an umlal, into a person who's destitute, to take it all away from him. And that's what Amalek does. The kfira of Amalek is trying to take us out, mamish, to take us out completely. Which is why, when it comes to Melchemes Amalek, no mercy. You have to destroy Amalek completely. Because a little bit of Amalek can destroy you completely. That's how potent it is. So this mashal of the guy who's so nervous, he can't enjoy all the pleasure that he should be able to enjoy based on what he has, can't enjoy any of it. The same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. Yesh lanu nachala. We have an amazing nachala. Ha'amuna kadoshi nachala seinu. Right? Ashreinu matochakenu umanoim goraleinu. We're the luckiest people in the world. We have an amuna as our inheritance, as our portion in this world. Nachala areva umesuka. A portion that is sweet and enjoyable. HaTorah kadosha hi nachla nifla. The Torah is the greatest gift in the world. It answers all of the uncertainty and questions of life. Ha'amuna sadikim sheyesh lanu. When you're attached to true sadikim, you meet people of such a clarity. It's a nachla atzuma. Aval yeshna meitzarim sheinosim lanu limonos pal. But there's something, there are these blockages that just don't allow us to what? To learn, to daven. Ve'im garmim kol bilbulei amuna. And they call all sorts of bilbulim in our heads. All the bilbul. Kol afraos hamochim. All of the obstacles of the mind. Kol chalisha sadas. All of the chalisha sadas. All of the sadness, all of the depression, all of the doubts. Heim ba'am al yidei neshamos she'ein anu yoidim akir mosanu. It all comes from these crooked souls of Amalek that try to undermine who we are be'etzem. Achein, however, yesh lekavos uladas sheyavos man she'oz nitzav alashachtam. But the time will come to shecht the Malik once and for all. The same way the Gemara describes the shechting of the Yetzer Hara once and for all. Levisha kein siva Hashem Yisbarach, because that's what Hashem has commanded, to wipe them out completely. Va'oz yagilo malchusi Yisbarach nachala b'li beitzar. You see throughout the Megillah, by the way, part of the Vina Hafachu, is you see Haman becoming more and more mububal. Right? The bilbul of Haman, as Haman becomes more, right? Vayavhilu lahevi as Haman. Vayavhilu, Bahala. They hurried to bring Haman. That's part of the, again, Tohu, Bavel, Bohu is Purim. Vayavhilu lahevi as Haman. There's this terrible bilbo that Haman is, he sees his life unraveling before him. Right? There's no menucha sanefesh. That's us getting our menucha back. And that's why, by the way, when is Purim celebrated? On Yudalit and Tesvav. Why? What does the Pasuk say? First daf of Maseches Megillah. When do we establish the Megillah? Kayama Masher Nachu HaYehud Me'aveim. On the days that the Jews were Nachu, when we finally had Menucha. Menucha Sanefesh. When we were finally able to restore Menucha Sanefesh. Menucha Sanefesh is connected very, very deeply to Bitachon, to trusting Hashem. When things look out of control and Haman's coming to power, have bitachon, have menuchas hanefesh. The Chovas HaLevavu says, the sign of a person who has bitachon is a person who has menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas. That's an indicator. If you want to check your bitachon level, see how anxious you are about, you know, the things that one could or should be anxious about in regular Olam Hazeh life. If your emunah is strong, if your bitachon is strong, then your menuchas hanefesh level will actually be very high. In the Sefer Medrash Talpios, it's very geschmack. It says that when Haman, in addition, I think we mentioned it last year, we'll say it again, that's because it's kedai here, if you never heard this. When Haman cast his lots, In addition to doing like a regular lottery, he was very into dice. Chance. The world of Amalek is Mikra. Chance. You know, games of chance. So Haman always had his dice with him. Yeah? Haman had these three dice that he used to carry with him. So when Haman was trying to see what's going to be, the Medrash Talpios tells us that Haman rolled his three dice. What did he see? What did it land on? It landed on 1, 3, 3. And Haman said, "Ah, geschmack. It's a good sign." Anyone? It's a good sign. 1, 3, 3. Lucky numbers. What was the name of the king that Shaul HaMelech, the king of Amalek, who Shaul didn't kill in time until Shmuel chopped him up? And because he didn't kill this king, Amalek was able to continue. His name was Agag, right? Agag. 1, 3, 3. Aleph, Gimel, Gimel. Now, Chevra, what's on the other side of a 1 and a 3? And it's true about our dice till this day. What's on the other side? What's on the other side? Opposite the 1 is a 6. And opposite the 3 is a 4. So what's on the opposite side of a 1, 3, 3? A 4, 6, 4. Ah! Even more geschmack, says Haman. What's on the bottom? Agag's on top. David. David, Mashiach. Right? Yeah? He's got a 1, 3, 3, and he's got a 4, 6, 4. He's got a David on the bottom, he's got an Agag on top. You know what it says in the Medrash Talfios? You see, Haman's a control freak, in case you didn't notice through the Megillah. Haman needs complete control. And that's why it's so geschmack to watch Haman, unravel through the Megillah as he loses control. And he becomes more mubulbal, because you can't be in control. He wants complete control. Hashem has complete control. So the gaiva of Amalek to think that they can have complete control. So you know what Haman does? He spins a 1, 3, 3. He's very excited. Agag. Right? Agag. That's my man. That's my melech. The melech of Amalek. And he knows on the bottom of 1, 3, 3 is David. But he's nervous. He wants to just, he needs to double check, you know? Medrash Talpios says he needed to check. He wanted to just make sure. He was pretty sure that on the other side of a 1, 3, 3 is a 4, 6, 4. But he just wanted to make sure, you know? Because he wanted to have complete control of the situation. It's like the person who leaves their house, locks the door, gets in their car, and then says, "Did I lock the door? I know I locked the door. Okay, I'm going to just go back and check." You go back and check, and of course the door is locked. Because you knew it the first time. But you needed control. How about you've played with your dice forever. You know on the other side of 1, 3, 3 is a 4, 6, 4. Yeah, but I need to... I always have to check everything. I've got to be involved. My hands need to see it. I can't just trust that it's there. I need to see it. So he takes the dice and he turns them over to check. Yes, it's David on the bottom. It's true. And he runs out to share the good news with his wife and friends. No, what happened? Flipped it over. He left David on top and Agag on the bottom. V'nahafachim. Says the Medrash Talpios, v'nahafachim. If he would have just left it alone, if he would have had a little bitachon, it's something that he knew was true. He knew it was 4, 6, 4 on the bottom. But yidai midei esav, always need to touch a little bit more. I need to do a little bit more. A little more ishtadlus. He ruined everything. Right? So the sign of menuchas hanefesh is a person of bitachon. And that's exactly what Amalek is trying to do. They steal our menuchas hanefesh, and in doing so, they steal our simcha. Because simcha zachaim can't be experienced if a person feels like all the good things I have can be taken away. And that's what Amalek, that's the threat of Amalek. At any moment, I could steal your amuna. I could steal your bitachon. I could steal your connection to Hashem. I could steal your connection to yourself. And therefore, he concludes, last paragraph for today. Zeu davar nora. This is a wondrous thing. It's a frightening thing. Terrifying thing. B'nei Yisrael mevakshim l'sa'alos b'avodasam. The Jewish people are trying to elevate themselves with our holy avoda. But there are so many things that are just trying to get in the way. And if we could just work around them and just remember who we are, if we could remember what it means, I have Torah, I have a neshama, there are tzaddikim, get involved. If I don't feel connected to those things, so just get more involved with those things. Get more involved. Don't just wait for Rav Cohen to visit us, you know, once a semester. Ask him for a chavrusa. No, geshmak, that'd be, ask Rav Cohen if you could learn the Seal Sishar with him. You don't think that'll change your life forever? I guarantee it will. Money back guarantee. Go for it. No, Hershey, you didn't ask him yet. Go for it. Aval mitzar mafriyim ba'adam. There's all these things that get in the way. Achin ba'yom zeh tzrichim lahamin. Shekol ha-mitzvah shemekayimim b'yom ha-purim. So therefore, on Purim, we fight back. We take the mitzvahs hayom. And each one of them is a way of what? Of preparing for mechiyas ha-malik. Kedei sheyuchal liyos u'mol ha-aretz zeyas Hashem, alochal ha-aretz kavodo, to fill the world with the presence of Hashem, lelo meitzar, without any type of boundaries or borders. Again, that's the simcha of Purim, the explosive, limitless simcha of Purim, anachala b'li meitzar. A day where we celebrate without any boundary, without any restrictions. Right? We allow ourselves to feel that full embrace of Hashem. Adlo yada. I don't need my brain. I don't need my brain to analyze it. I just need my heart to feel it. Adlo yada. So I switch off my brain and I allow myself to just feel the kimu b'kibla yehud, and just the feeling of the reacceptance of being a yid and being so excited about that. I'm letting Amalek take that away or threat. Okay, we'll stop here.